cheeky back heel.
With ease, Miguel Aziz's first goal for Portsmouth.
Into the path of Smith-Rowe, into the box, Smith-Rowe scores! A really deserved first goal in Huddersfield Town colours.
In a week that's been somewhat of a struggle for the first team, there's been some struggle for our players on loan, a week in which we've seen the least amount of action amongst our 21 loan players due to injury, due to not being selected, and due to now potential suspensions due to red cards. There was a shining light of Flo Balogun getting back on the scoring sheet, upping his tally to 15 goals in League One this season. Tim Akinola with some excellent performances that should see him stay in the starting lineup as long as he can avoid injury. And Brooke Norton-Cuffey putting in his best performance so far in a Coventry shirt. But as mentioned previously, the likes of Charlie Patino picked up his first red card in senior football. Nathan Butler Oyedehi has not quite seen the pitch the amount we would have liked him to, especially after starting his first match with Accrington Stanley. Tyreshawn Jules, Nikolai Moeller, Mika Biereth, all of those still injured. Marcelo Flores continues not to be utilized. But let's just start from the top with Flo Balogun, because the guy really is so impressive. And at a time when Arsenal are lacking goals, it is good to see we have more striking options right at the brink of breaking into our first team. Flo played in a 4-0 win over Troyes as Reims continue to look excellent in the league. He played 88 minutes, 8 of 11 passing, 1 of 4 shots on target, and a successful dribble. He created an XG of 0.8 and won his only tackle. It is clear what a physical presence he now is with his back to goal. He has become a complete striker, and I know I've said this, but it's just impressive every week how much more comfortable he looks with his back to goal, how much clearer it is. Shielding has become second nature, and now he can decide what he wants to do when he's shielding and holding the ball, and how he can dictate play in that way, the way you'd like to see a number 9 do. The ball is starting to stick to his feet. That allows him to take mini dribbles here and there, to draw a defender in and then play out, to turn a defender, to spin a defender, to play balls in behind, to go on 1v1. It allows him to do so many more things than he could do coming into this season. And I credit Will still a lot, because he's clearly impacted the way Flo sees the game and the way he attacks space, and it's really changed the way that his all-around game is. But if we're going to talk about the goal, this was a true striker's goal, and it reminded me of Erling Haaland. It was a through ball played into the channel, Flo Balogun running in between two defenders. He shielded off the defender on his right shoulder and ran onto the ball sweetly to strike it first time with his left and poke it into the corner. This is something Haaland does exceedingly well. He orients his body, and so he does not have to take a touch before he shoots. Yes, this might make the finish a little bit harder because you don't get to exactly set it up the way you want to, but it takes out the possibility of taking a poor touch, which is a key thing to eliminate when you're a striker. The fewer touches it takes you to score, the less likely it is that something wrong is going to happen, and the better chance it is that you get the shot off that you want to take. And this is what Balogun did exactly. It's not something, again, that I'm used to seeing him do, but it's clearly something he's worked on in training. It's clearly something he's become more comfortable with, and he did a fabulous job here. Again, he orients his body. The ball, through ball comes through. He shields the player off his right shoulder, then orients his body the other way to open it up, left-footed strike into the bottom corner. Balogun nearly scored a second after receiving a ball in the box, shielding, cutting back onto his left, and trying to rope his left foot around it, but it did go just wide of the post. But overall, an excellent match for Flo Balogun, and another goal scored. Back into England, Charlie Patino. He did not start the first match of this week over the weekend, but came on for an injured tribal and played 67 minutes in a 0-0 draw, and he had a quite good match. 14 of 24 passing, a shot on target, 7 passes into the final third. Won all 3 of his tackles, won 2 aerial duels, and made 7 interceptions. Again, he got on the ball in much more advanced areas in this new system under Mick McCarthy. His physicality, it's so admirable. For a player who has not played senior football until this year, it is quite unbelievable to see how willing he is to throw his body around. And this is not a slight to Lokonga, but I'm just going to use him as an example. Think about Lokonga, who has played in senior football for multiple years, and how unhappy he looks to throw physical shoulders in, to get into a challenge, to go to ground to win a ball. And then you think about Charlie Patino and the way he's playing at his age and in the situation Blackpool are in, where he's taking countless risks, throwing his body into defenders, going into tackles, getting into passing lanes, making sure that he has his defensive contributions down and in the match. And that is something Arteta is going to love about him, that he can trust Charlie Patino, who many thought to be just an elegant footballer on the ball with excellent strides and great passing angles and a bit of a goal threat. But he's now also a player who can fill that role. And we it's been made clear to us that what Arteta wants from his left-sided eight, or the opposite to Odegaard, to whoever that is a physical midfielder. He wants two physical midfielders and a playmaker. That's why Granit Xhaka is such a crucial part to this side. He had a very poor match against Manchester City, and we saw that. And we've seen how he's let us down in the final third over the last few weeks. But that isn't going to change the way Arteta feels about the midfield. He wants two physical presences in there. And Charlie Patino can be exactly that in that eight position. Everyone who's calling for him to be a six, he's not a six, but he can be a physical eight. And that could be a massive, massive thing to have. And the way that he plays so physically is something Arteta is going to absolutely love. And he works really hard. He covers a lot of ground. And it's exciting to watch. The other thing that's clear from a match like this that you can tell is that Charlie Patino has been told that they're going to play long. They're not playing these short passes in the middle. They're not trying to play interplay. They're playing long, trying to win first and second balls and score goals from that. And, you know, he's listening to instruction. It's good experience. And we'll move on to his second match, which did not go quite as well. He played 57 minutes in a 2-1 loss to Swansea, picked up two yellows, turning into a red. 11 of 15 passing, won his only tackle, one of one tackles, and three interceptions. The first yellow, he was just late. He was late to a challenge, clattered through the back of a midfielder, and it was a yellow card. It was aggressive and physical, and he was late. The second yellow was an awful challenge. He missed time to slide tackle on a ball that was there for the taking. It was a bad touch by the opposition, and he was just late on the slide. And it was a second yellow. He just got overly aggressive in these two fouls. I think that's partially to being told how to play. I think it's partially because he's seen himself do really well being physical. And this happens. This is not unusual for a midfielder to get two yellows. It happens, and it's a learning experience. And he'll miss the next match, and then he'll move on from there. Staying in the championship in a little bit different part of the table, Brook Dorn Cuffey at Coventry City, of course, played the final 21 minutes in a 1-1 draw with Luton Town. Did not get the start. Josh Wilson, Esbrand did get the start on the other side. I thought that they were going to try and use both of them together, but from what I can tell, it doesn't seem that's the case. But Wilson Esbrand picked up a red card, and Brook Dorn Cuffey was immediately brought on to defend for the final 20 minutes, in which Coventry barely got on the ball. They were, you know, playing deep, trying to hold on to a major point against a side that they're fighting with, Luton Town. And they did just that. They held out for a 1-1 draw. Brook blocked a shot, made a recovery, had a clearance, and won his only ground duel. But, you know, it's always good to get a shift in defensively and to learn how to play in a deep block, something Norton Cuffey doesn't have that much experience in. So, not a bad experience to get in, and did a job. Earned himself a start in the next match, 89 minutes and a 1-0 win over Minwall, which was a major, major six-point match in the promotion race. And this was Brook Norton Cuffey's best match in a Coventry shirt by far. 12 of 19 passing, a key pass, 7 of 9 successful dribbles, an accurate cross, 2 out of 4 tackles won, 11 of 18 ground duels won. He was so excellent on the ball, especially in that first half. He was cutting inside, cutting outside, dragging defenders, making them kind of put a foot in and then gliding past them to create things. He was still doing that excellent work, playing balls into the channel, finding Gyökeres, finding Casey Palmer, doing a really excellent job stretching the field, knowing when to be inside. He clearly is becoming more comfortable in this position that we've spoken so much about. He was smart with his passing, but he was also inventive and progressive. He wasn't just holding onto the ball. He was trying to make things happen. He was pushing forward, and I can guarantee you that he will be starting the next match the way he played here. He was a vital part to Coventry City getting a grasp on this game early on and dominating the play. And although he didn't contribute to the goal, he made a difference in this match. Offensively and defensively. 7 successful dribbles. That is crazy. 11 ground duels won. He was so confident in this match. He was strong. He was aggressive and passionate. He was getting his, you know, a tackle in, winning the ball back, trying to make things happen. I think the rest over the weekend was exactly what he needed for this midweek match. And I'm excited to see Brook continue to thrive. Coventry kind of getting back into the groove of things. Gyökeres scoring again. And I want to say that Gyökeres and Casey Palmer are Ivan Toney and Brian Mbeumo light. Gyökeres has a lot of similarities to Ivan Toney, but he's not quite the player. He's not quite the physical presence. He doesn't quite have the ball striking, but he's got similar positional skills. He has similar hold-up skills. He can score from a lot of different angles with both feet. He's a threat in the air. I really like his play. And Casey Palmer does a really good job to kind of hang around, win those second balls, kind of drift to either wing and make things happen. I really like watching this side. I'm really happy Brooke Norton-Cuffey ended up there for my own viewership. And I look forward to seeing him continue to thrive and, you know, maybe getting an assist here and there and getting himself in the box a little more often and finding himself in different areas. This is a great move for him. Staying in England, going down a few levels, Tim Akinola finally back and fit. 90 minutes in a 1-2 loss in Notts County, 90 minutes in a 1-1 draw with Aldershot Town, and one man of the match. The fans want him signed permanently. He's in incredible form. Can't understand why he's not starting every match. Clearly their best player. These are just some of the things that the Chesterfield fans are saying. And it just goes to show, like, the kind of talent the academy is producing. That we not only are producing different prototypes, different types of midfielders, but players who are ready to hit the ground running when they go on loan. And for the most part, that's what we have. I think we've had some players go into uncertain circumstances where managers don't succeed, and you can't predict that. But to find players the right places to play where they can thrive and succeed in so many cases out of 21 is exceptional. And Tim Akinola is a prime example of that after what was a poor loan last year, which didn't work out. But hopefully he stays fit, continues to play well, and Chesterfield are in a dogfight trying to get promoted and into league football, which would be huge for them. And realistically, if they do, I could see Tim Akinola moving to Chesterfield permanently, if not a higher ranking, and maybe into League One. He's been excellent. He provides a lot of interesting athletic skills. He can cover a lot of different bases in midfield. I've been liking what I'm seeing from him quite a bit. Over to the FA Cup in Scotland. Ryan Alabiosu played the final 16 minutes in a 1-0 win over Dundee United. That will get Kilmarnock into the quarterfinals, which is great for them. They've had a poor season in the league, and it gives them, you know, something a little energetic to play for. Maybe this pushes them forward to do better in the league. They'll play Inverness in the quarterfinals. Alex Kirk of Ayr United, also still in the Scottish FA Cup, they had to go to extra time, playing 120 minutes against Elgin City, and they won 4-1. They'll enter the quarterfinals and play Falkirk in the quarterfinals. So both Kilmarnock and Ayr United have winnable matches in the Scottish quarterfinals, which, if they win, could see our two players meet in the semis or go into different semifinals and meet in the finals, potentially. So great for both of these sides. Great experience. Get a little bit of a different experience in cup play than you do in league play. Back to England. Nathan Butler Odiyehi, as I mentioned at the top, not quite getting the minutes it seemed he would after starting that first match and doing all right. He played the final 20 minutes in a 0-0 draw with Cheltenham Town. 2-of-2 passing, 1-of-2 ground duels won, and he drew a foul. Not getting on the ball much. Accrington Stanley are really struggling at the moment. And then he came on in the 90th minute during a 2-0 loss to Wycombe. Fired from outside the box, but his shot was blocked immediately. And, you know, this is a team that's fighting a bad relegation battle. I'd like to see Nathan Butler Odiyehi getting in the lineup a little more and making something happen. They brought him in for that reason, to add a little bit of pace and spark to the side. And they're not really giving him the opportunity. Going down one more level to League 2, Taylor Foran makes his full senior debut, playing 90 minutes in a 2-0 loss to Crewe. It was unfortunate the team got a red card very quickly in the match, and they had to defend down a man the entire time, which, you know, kind of takes away from the full debut experience. It's not a normal match, but I thought Taylor Foran did quite well. He was 13 of 23 passing, had a key pass, a completed cross, 1-of-1 tackles, 3 blocks, 7 clearances, 5 recoveries, one his only ground duel, and one his only aerial duel. Just, you can just see the kind of defender he is when he's out there. He's physical, he's strong, he's tall, he keeps the game in front of him. He's not going to go diving into tackles. He's not going to play in a high line. He's not going to, you know, futz around in the back with the ball and lose the ball for the offense to have an easy goal. He's going to be a no-nonsense defender who wins duels, who's strong, who doesn't get bullied, and, you know, doesn't make mistakes too often. And you should see him settle into the heart of the defense here, as Hartlepool are in an absolute dogfight as well in a relegation battle. A lot of good experiences for our players coming up, and this is no different than anywhere else. Tyrese John-Jules is still out due to injury at Ipswich Town. Hopefully, he'll be back before the end of the month, but if not, early March. Nikolai Moeller also out due to injury with Den Bosch. Same situation, could be back any time over the next couple of weeks. Same goes with Mika Bierith at RKC Walwick. Marcelo Flores on the bench again without featuring against Burgos. This, you know, I agree. People are clamoring, why wasn't he recalled? I'm not quite sure. It was, the signs are clear that he's not in the plans for Oviedo. He's sitting on the bench every week, which is bizarre that he's not even getting a chance for a few minutes here and there. I don't have more information than that, but I am going to go fishing. Mazid Ogunbo, unused sub for a second and third straight match over the week here for Crawley Town. Omar Rekik out with that slight injury we spoke about after his debut, missing two matches this week. I mean, the manager spoke about it like it wasn't a serious injury, so I hope he'll be back soon, but you just never know. I think the truth of the matter is he hadn't played a full match all season, and he was rushed in immediately to a starting 11. That probably didn't make a lot of sense, but hopefully he'll be back soon. Staying at Wigan, Miguel Aziz has not even been in the squad for three matches now. One was due to suspension, but nothing since then. A little bit odd. And Marquinhos for Norwich in the championship picked up a slight muscle injury in training and missed the weekend's clash. Manager said it wasn't anything serious. We do hope to see him back soon. To our goalie segment of the podcast, Arthur Okonkwo played his first Austrian Bundesliga match. They played against Rapid Vienna, and he kept a clean sheet in a 1-0 win. He had two saves, 13 of 23 passing, only 1 out of 11 long balls, but he did have a high claim as well. Controlling his box, they really had a stronghold on this game, Sturm Graz, and got a late winner. So great to see them getting a win and a clean sheet for Okonkwo. He's really hit the ground running here. Ovi Ejihiri gave up two goals and a 2-1 loss to Haka in that weird Finnish Cup thing we've been talking so much about. Made a nice save early on a low, hard shot, getting his foot to it. He couldn't even really see it coming, but it went pretty directly at him. Did well enough to actually control it and keep it out of the net. All you can ask for. He made a mistake a few moments later, distributing from way outside of his own box. Like, he was well outside of his own box. And went to make a pass into midfield and just mishit it, pretty much. He was nowhere near the midfielder. Went right to the opposition, who tried to chip him from, I don't know, about 45 yards out. Missed the target, luckily, so Ejihiri was not penalized for that mistake. He gave up a fantastic goal from the top of the box in the second half, a curling shot into the far corner. Really don't think he could have done anything about it. They don't have more than one angle to see of it, but that's my take on it. The second goal was just a few minutes later, ripped from maybe 6 yards out, hit the bar and went in. It would be harsh to say Ejihiri could have saved this, but you'd like to see him get his hands up and make himself bigger in these situations. I think it was hit too hard and from too close for him to do anything. And last but not least, Tom Smith of Colchester United has not featured for Colchester yet, on the bench again. I mean, maybe he was brought in for cover for Kieran O'Hara, but it's weird that Arsenal would have sent him there in that situation. I mean, obviously Bromley seemed to have moved on from him. Not a great year so far for Tom Smith. I thought he did all right, to be honest, at Bromley. I thought he had some good moments. He had his mistakes, but he's a great 1v1 goalkeeper. He really makes himself big and closes the angles well. So hopefully he'll get his chance for Colchester. But that's it. As I mentioned at the top, not a huge week. Pretty much a down week for our players. We got a bunch of injuries going on. We have some weird non-selections going on. Now Patino's going to miss a match, but we'll keep you updated. Next week, going to be a tough one for me. I'll be around on Twitter. May not be able to get a podcast out. Got some personal things going on. But I'll keep you all posted either way, and thank you so much for listening again to Away From Hale End, and we'll talk to you next time.